This is Julie.
Hey, calendar, what's my morning like?
Julie's about to have a long day.
At 9 a.m., soccer carpool. 9:10, purchase birthday card. 9:05, dry cleaning.
Did you just go backwards?
I'm sorry, I can't fit that question into your schedule. 9:15, cry for a little bit.
For days that won't end, let Schwann's help. With Schwann's, you can get delicious meals that go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. Visit today at Schwann's.com.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hey, what was I saying here?
Yeah, you were just talking about prison.
Oh, put in your... So... A BU member that Pierre Evans,
yes,
amazing guy, yes. I got to know through having you come out and speak. He's been on my show. I remember something he said when writing his book. The advice you gave him was, don't leave anything out when it comes to sharing your story. Don't hold back. And I remember when I was writing my book, I had a whole story of going against the whole state of Ohio at age 26 to open our company for special needs. I had to get a law change. It was, that could have been like enough, but something's like, you got to talk about the jail part.
Yeah.
And I remember I did it and I'm like, I'm not, cause, and I remember thinking, cause it's not just the baby boomers.
No.
I just want everyone to know, everyone goes through this. Like, and I remember worrying, what are people going to think about me? Because I built this, and that's, I thank God every day that I put that in there, because that, it was the opposite. It gave everyone, and I realized back as a kid, that was where so much of my anger and stuff in jail came, is I thought I was such a loser, I didn't get straight A's, and I thought the successful people were the ones that didn't go through that adversity. And so then by me not sharing that, because I was thinking, had I read what I was writing, that would have helped me. Because I would look at us three right now at that age and be like, I could never, they must have never had a struggle. They must
Absolutely.
Have just been,
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
Absolutely.
That's the way my, and I think a lot, and it shows like at all different ages, as really as we go after something that's really out of our comfort zone, that's more in our heart to do. Like you sharing your book.
And the book is about being a teen mom, 17. You know, pregnant when my mother was pregnant.
Yeah.
I left home. I didn't know my father until I was probably in the fifth or sixth grade. And being a single mom back then was, is, you know, more difficult because there weren't resources. But how, again, looking at some of the hardships that I had been raised around that helped me say, I don't know what I want out of life, but I know for sure it's not this life. And just knowing that, how many of my friends end up on crack or heroin,
yes,
back in the day, and how I was able to navigate that, because the people that were on the crack, I stayed away from. So by default, sometimes you fall forward.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
So true. It sounds like that you've had like a good kind of intuition of sort of, and I don't know, because we all learn our own journeys, but to kind of like pull away from some of that negativity, because like you were around the drug dealers and stuff, living with them, but still something in you's like, I'm not gonna
that. Yeah. So what, you know, what happened and what has happened to me up to this point. You know, for real, man, I'm wise enough to know what works and what doesn't work, you know? And I think a lot of people get so caught into their emotions and their feelings. And that was one of the things that I realized as I was going through, you know, this spiritual, you know, awareness. It's like, yo, this works, this doesn't work, you know? So for me, when I look at people in the community who are selling drugs and who are doing certain things, I'm like, you know, that's only going to take you so far. Like, I never met nobody who retired.
No.
I never met somebody who,
right.
you know, somebody like my other boys hated my boy because he was doing better than they were doing, you know. And I just saw, just watching movies and going through life, hate. And so even when I wrote my book, you know, I had gotten to a place in my life where I was like, look, this is not about my mother or my father. Like, this is not about what happened to me. Like, this is about all the people who've gone through what I've gone through, understanding. So that's why for me, I started at 16, you know, and I gave you one glimpse of something that happened in my home, but I didn't talk about me at 8 or 9 or 10.
Sure.
Like, I didn't think it was necessary. Like, I don't need to drag my family, you know, in the mud. Like, I don't think that's bad karma.
Yeah.
So I don't want that coming back to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I need to start you where I made a mistake. I'm showing you I messed up. Here were the consequences to me messing up. I left home, and I'm showing you, like, yo, I made it as if this was the bad thing. No, I kept messing up, and I had to make some adjustments, you know? So I think it's important for people to realize, whether you're writing a book, whatever you're doing in life, is that these are the things that you do that are going to be a blessing. These are things that are going to be a curse. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, yo, if you're speaking, when I say give your heart, you know, I never forget, I don't know if it was, I think I watched Nelson Mandela, the movie, and I remember saying to myself, like, yo, one day I'm going to die. And the last thing I want is the 20 or 30 years I was a speaker that I half did it. Because I'm going to be dead much longer than I'm going to be alive. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my content to be screwed because I was worried about what John Bob thought. Well, John Bob and I both going to die. But this message is going to live on. And I want kids to get the essence of the message. So I can't be sitting here worried about what he thinks or she thinks or they think. I have to be pure to what is the motive for why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
What do you seek to accomplish? And go for it, E. And then here's the deal. When you get older anyway, it's like, who cares if 50 million people like you or not? Like, you way past like.
Right.
But of course, you still have to do content where people are going to embrace that content. So for me, when I did the content, I'm just thinking, what is another 16-year-old going through? What is an 18-year-old going through?
Yeah.
What are people going through in life? And make sure you share enough of your story that, whatever. So we got a mixtape coming out again, or whatever you call it. I don't think it's a mixtape. Nah, I think it's might be called an album.
What is it called? So
yeah,
what
I think it's an album, not because you charge.
I'll get the,
you know what I'm saying?
I'll get the link and have it in the show notes.
After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com.
All right, so,
sure.
But I think it'll be out in the beginning of the year, but C said he and Nikki were listening to it and they were in tears. Mm. And I'm like, that's what I,
mm-hmm.
that Nikki listens to my stuff every day.
Right.
CJ listens to my stuff every day. So if you're crying and you listen to me all the time,
mm-hmm.
then that means that it's timeless, that it's moving you. And that's my job. My job is not necessarily to, you know, tell you how I feel about my biological father or my father who raised me, my mother. That's not my job, is to tell you how I feel. My job is to make you feel.
Yeah.
Because when I make you feel, then I'm going to transform you. If you felt what I said, that means you reflected. I got to your soul. And if I can get to your soul, I can make you change. Now, if I make you go, yeah, E, that's right, you may not necessarily change because you root me on. But if I pierce your soul in any kind of way, then that is going to convict you to change. So for me, when I wrote the book, my mom said when I asked her to come to Bermuda, even this book project we did, it wasn't, for me, it wasn't about I need something else to do, or I need something else to invest in. For me, it was, you have something that can benefit a group of people, especially in this era where women aren't necessarily, like, I always hear people say, E.T., Tony Robbins, Les Brown, Zig Ziglar. Like, you don't really hear them talk about the female speakers, you know, that are killing the game, you know, or who are writing books, who are changing the world. So for me, it was like, yo, we really do live in a time where women are still, for whatever reason, marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of being marginalized, they're not necessarily getting the information they need to get to that next level. They're kind of just selling it, saying, well, this is my situation, I'm gonna stay in it. So I was like, yo, Ma, I think it would be great to do a book, because I really think, not just the book is gonna be important, but hopefully the book will launch, you know, a curriculum or a podcast, you know, a speaking career where other women can be empowered, absolutely coaching, you know, et cetera. So I really, really believe that when I said, let's do this project, that you don't want to die and leave all of that great content and all of the great information and insight. You don't want to leave that in you. You want to be able to get that out so that other people can benefit from it.
Yeah, it's so true. And with what you've been through, it takes courage to be transparent. It's the opposite where people think like, the valiant ones never admit they're wrong. That's not true. Right.
No.
The courageous ones are real.
Yeah.
It's true. When I gave it thought, it was like, you've been doing this anyway.
Right.
You've helped so many young women undercover. You should be proud.
Absolutely.
You were raised in abject poverty, and you got this life.
Yeah.
You fell down. You were on welfare. You were estranged from my son's biological father, but we kept going. I didn't dwell in the past. I never felt a victim. I never felt like it was his fault if we did his biological father's fault if we didn't make it. It's like, it's your job and it's your moral obligation. You know some things that were wrong, and I had an ability to discern. So it's no excuse for me, because I could tell you, if you do one and two, you're going to get three, then why are you doing it? You better do one and four and get five. But most people settle. Wasn't easy. We got through the single parentness, the being alone, and I'm ready to share that, because we can, women can, and even if you have to do it alone, you don't have to be in abject poverty. You can have a better life for you. You owe your kids a better life.
Well, I'm looking forward to this, because going off what you just said about the women and where some of them are, the opportunities there, it's
absolutely,
it goes back to seeing examples of you doing this, sharing your story, you never know it again, like, it's not about the ripple effect.
Yeah.
You never know. It could end up being you that is the one that's like all over the world. You could be bigger than E one day, or it could be the ripple effect that could reach Sierra. And because she's, but I'm being serious because you saw this, it made you think, wow, I can have a book, I can help other. And that's where, you know, we've all heard the story of like when the record for the mile was broken, and then once that happened,
oh yeah,
it was impossible, you know, it's been used to death,
Yeah, but it's real.
It's true, though.
It's still true.
And for women, it's the same. It's not like the opportunity is there. And I know a lot of women that are way smarter than me and can be doing.
But see, this is the problem. A lot of, for women like me, even in today, there is a little level of shame. And it may be shame we place on ourselves. And that's why we're not open about it.
Yeah.
It was for me. I should have been proud to share all the milestones. You know, I got kicked out of school, but I managed to graduate. I didn't go to college, but I ended up working for a company that encouraged me to go to college and paid for it. I was just closer to 40 when it happened. And these women need to see that, don't be ashamed. Be proud and tell somebody, grab somebody and say, girl, look, I ain't saying it's easy, but you can do it. And look, let me tell you what I've been through. Because you can't tell by looking at a person what they've been through.
So it's never too late.
It's
to
never.
Start.
Not giving
no.
up.
I'm writing a book. I finished this book. I was almost 65. Well, actually, I had turned 66 when I finished it.
Look at that. Published author.
Should have been in college in 1970.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to college till probably 89, but I went. I finished.
Well, I don't know how many of your professors are authors, but I know my creative writing professor told me I have no understanding of what it takes to be an author.
Wow.
And
wow.
I finally started, after jail, like a thing for that. And when my book hit the bestseller,
wow.
I don't ever mention her name, I don't need to, but I looked her up and she doesn't have a book out today.
See?
Wow.
And I've never
taken
taken a creative writing class.
It doesn't help.
No, but I just, I poured out my stories on each unit and
yeah.
then put them together, but spoke from my heart and it flowed in my voice. And we all have a story to tell that will save someone.
Yeah.
I have two more things before we wrap up this important. There's something I have to mention about you that a lot of people don't know. Don't worry, it's a good story. It's one when you were 8 or 9 that your mom told you about.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Did you know it's in the book? I'm just joking.
Oh, that's good. Like, Mark, see, on the way here, you caught on the way here.
One of them, it's very important. I want to talk about how, because just recently when you were able to forgive, you were holding the anger at Eric, at Dr. E over here. But can I, and I don't know what you're going through, but I know sometimes, a lot of times, anger is like guilt in disguise. Would you agree with that in your situation, or do you ought me for saying?
No. I don't think it was guilt at all. It was shame, but I talk about it more in my book of why I didn't talk about the father, but it's not what you would think.
Okay.
Yeah. The rejection of us, I was able, and I'm not saying most people should do this, I have the ability to bend something and just leave it alone. And it's buried. I don't even give thought to it anymore. But our situation was Eric knew all of his paternal relatives.
Yeah.
Except for the father. So it's weird, but I go into detail more in the book of what happened. So I think I felt rejected at first.
Yeah.
And didn't talk about it. And so it was like, if you're not going to be involved, why would I spend any energy? And I'm not saying it was right, because it did create some serious problems.
Sure.
But I don't waste time on things that I can't affect.
So is that where, like, when you were upset about Eric sharing his stuff in the book and everything?
And he didn't really go into that. He spoke more on that moment.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. Right,
it was just
right.
Give a snapshot.
He's right. My book, it delves a lot more into my own beginning,
okay.
our life, and us raising him
oh.
to the point he left home. But no, I speak of some of the rejections and the hardships that we encountered, he and I, before we married, and even the issues that came with him being adopted. But no, I never felt any shame personally. Because I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't feel, based on all the information that I'd been getting.
So, but there was tension between you two for a while throughout this, like,
so you're talking about
doing
the book.
So, yeah.
The tension of the book. Okay,
the beginning of the book?
Yeah, like, later on.
Yeah, he just said, what was the tension for you? Like, when you were like...
Oh, when Eric shared the book. When Eric shared the book, I just thought it's personal stuff. But then the tension went away. Then Eric asked me to write the book, and we had a different kind of scenario. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want it to be a tell-all. But I didn't know what perspective to actually write the book on.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter-in-law is the one that made it easy for me, as a matter of fact. And I really have to give a shout-out to Dee Dee. I bought my grandson a book when he was 2 or 3, and it was The Three Little Pigs. Everybody knows about The Three Little Pigs. But this version was written by the wolf.
Mm.
Alexander Wolf. Same story, his perspective. And that was the premise, that I was able to finally decide how to write this book. From a parent's perspective, from my young mother's perspective, from being rejected with a kid.
Yeah.
And all the things that we went through, but not be a tell-all or slander book.
Yeah, and I don't feel like either of yours, it's just helping
to
people.
To show women, it's a cautionary tale, I tell you, to show women, you get yourself into something, you have to know the end result. You cannot be a victim no matter what happens to you. In the end, you have to get up. And for the fathers who aren't in their sons' lives, and some other man comes in and steps in, he adopted Eric.
Yeah.
And the biological was very upset about losing his surname, but didn't do anything. And then when you come back, after being gone, sometimes till they're almost dead, there is a time or space that you lost that you can't recover.
Yeah.
And so it's for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have.
I mean, it's a lot in the book. It's a lot to tell these women. Okay, you got kicked in the teeth. You know, just get up.
Yeah.
Because as long as you stay a victim, you are never going to make any traction. And for Eric's biological father, he was disappointed and angry.
Yeah.
He lost a lot.
Yeah.
And I think,
it's
I think,
his loss.
Yeah, I think for me, though, that the, you know, when I look back, I think the tension was more not communicating more than what it really was. You know what I'm saying?
True.
For me, you know, it was just tension in that there was just so many things that, you know, as an adult, I realized my need to control. You know, my wife and I, when we would have challenges and I sat down and really thought about it, I was like, yo, I'm not the dude that, I wouldn't consider myself a gorilla because I don't force my will on others. But I do have a very strong desire to control my own destiny, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is why I believe I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because when I worked, it was like, I love my job at Michigan State, I love the kids, but there were some things that I couldn't control. And it's like, yo, I just feel like if I give you 120%, I should be able to control how much money I make. Like, you just give me a scale, tell me what I need to do, you know, but you'll do everything you're supposed to do, but there's still
yeah.
a boss who can, you know, whatever. So I think
worship
for
the policies
yeah,
over
yeah.
The,
so I think
yeah.
for me, it was more stuff I didn't communicate. And then when you don't communicate, it kind of escalates. And I think for me, it was the control. You know, it's kind of like, I always felt like, and a parent, you have the right to do it. But as a child, I always felt like there are decisions you're making for me or things you're doing, but it affects you one way, but it affects me a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't affect me. So for you to have the ability to just to cut my father off, I told my mom as I got older, like, I don't know if we're going to have a relationship or not, but I can't cut off me because that's me. That's like 50% of who I am is my DNA. It tells me why I do some of the stuff that I do. Even, you know, I laugh and say, even when you go to the doctor, they want to know your medical history or your family. So even if you don't know your biological father, biological mother, you still have history, mm-hmm. health history that's connected to that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they're in your life or not, if they had a stroke, you know, if they had high blood pressure, they were talking about, I hope I say it right, but prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that the bigger part of it is really hereditary. You know, some people say, don't eat eggs, don't do that. It was like, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. But if it's hereditary, you can not eat this or not eat that. You still have the probability for you to get it is greater. So for me, I had to realize that. But like what my mom said, that's deep. When you get mature, is you don't expect someone else to honor your reality because it's not their reality. So if it's my blood, but it's not your blood, then I can't expect you to treat it like it's your blood when it's not your blood. You know what I'm saying? That's my responsibility. That's something that I have to do. And I think, again, that's what I said earlier, where people go wrong. A lot of the anger or frustration people feel is you're trying to make me live your expectations.
Yeah.
You're trying to make me live out your life. And I laugh. You know, my wife will say to my son, like, yo, when you come home, she's like, yo, you got your coat there, you got your suitcase there. And he's like, yo, I hear this story about how when he's out, he's washing people dishes, he doing this, he doing that. But when he come home, it's a total different kid. I said, no, it's not a total different kid. It's he grew up with you being his mom.
Yeah.
So whenever he comes home, he takes man off and he put boy back on. You know what I'm saying? Because that's, you were his mom.
Yeah.
So you were the one that always washed the dishes for him. You cooked for him. You washed his clothes. So even though he's 23 years old, he come home and expect mom to wash his clothes. Why? Because that's his expectations of you. And his expectations hasn't changed because he's 23. He still has the same expectation. You are his mom. And this is what, as a mother, this is what he knows. So I said, you can't get mad at him when he comes home and leaves all his stuff. Until the expectations change, until you tell him, I'm no longer happy with playing a role of your mom, then he's going to continue to think that. And so I just think if there's anything I like to say is that, for real, we have to sit down and change our expectations. And again, you cannot assume because somebody loves you, and it's so unfair. We feel like because somebody loves us, that what they believe, we should believe.
Right.
And it's like, yo, that's your reality.
Yeah.
That's something that's important to you. And that's something that you want. But that's not something that I necessarily want. Even my biological father, we have a relationship. But what he wants out of the relationship and what I want out of the relationship is two different things. Like, I'm healthy. I'm a grown man that's very successful. I've got a family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm whole. So what I would want for a person who wasn't there for you, he has more, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real. Like,
it's
he has more,
like it has to be earned.
Yeah, well, he had more guilt in that because he wasn't there. So there are things that he might want to try to do that I'm like, oh, you good. You don't have to do that for me because I'm not on that. Like, I don't have any guilt. I was not there for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't have the same feelings that you, like guilt that you have. So, and I'm not mad that you are trying to do what you're doing, but if I don't receive it the way you want it,
right.
I even have my brothers, man, that are like,
that
are upset with me, and I didn't know why they were upset, you know, and I realized, oh, every time you watch a video, I'm dogging my man out. That's your father. Like, he was in your life. So he did go to your games. Like, he was at your birthday party.
Yeah,
so every time you hear me, like, you have a hard time with me because you like, yo, you like, you don't never have nothing positive to say about my man. It's like, every time something come out your mouth, it's, he wasn't this, he wasn't. I'm like, yo, I respect that. Like, I feel you. Like, you're right. If somebody, if my son, every time they talked about me and they was dogging me out, of course Jalen would be hurt. Why? Because Jalen knows the good in me. Jalen just don't know the bad part of me. So again, and I'm not mad at my brothers for that. I'm like, yo, I feel y'all. Like, I get it, you know. And they're like, well, don't think everything was perfect, but whatever. So it's gonna be tension between us because the person you love, I'm disrespecting that person. So that's why
you can't let it stop you.
Absolutely, if you're mature, if you're mature,
that God mature is right.
Yeah. And
I don't
you
need to fight
communicate,
but from like continuing to do the dream in your
heart.
Because people could be, you could overthink that and think this is causing tension.
Yeah.
I better stop.
But you have to be mature enough, like I said, to understand, oh, I see where my brother coming from.
Yeah.
Like, I feel it. And when I'm around him, I definitely need to make sure that I'm respectful and I'm not just constantly just throwing out this, he ain't that. Because if I do that, then we're not gonna have a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he's not gonna wanna deal with me. So I'm saying, that's why I said mature, and that you communicate. Now, I don't have to change my reality because you're not feeling my reality. I don't have nothing to change it, but we should be smart enough as humans that if you're doing something by yourself in a house, but then two or three other people come in, like, if you were upstairs by yourself, somebody comes in, you just can't stay upstairs by yourself. You have to be respectful, come down, speak to that person, whatever. So when we're with other people, if I'm with my sister who doesn't know my father and I'm saying something negative, she don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm with my brother and that is his father, he loves his father, then he does care. So I'm not saying be fake.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be in a healthy relationship, there has to be some compromise if you're going to be in a healthy relationship. And you can't lead with your reality. You have to now say, as two of us in a place, what's our reality? And then you make your moves based on our, like I said, my wife's not here. My wife is not necessarily camera and like to be around folks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not my wife. So I'm like, all right, you go to TJ Maxx. But if you guys weren't here and it was just my mom, even though my wife not necessarily a people person, she wouldn't go to the mall and not come in the house and spend time with my mom. You know what I'm saying? She wouldn't do that. But because it's strangers, she's like, I'm not entertaining that. I don't want to meet nobody. I don't want nobody to meet me. And I don't go, you're the worst person in the world. I go, I respect that.
My wife's
I respect that you are more prior to being your only child, it was just you and your mom. You didn't grow up with a whole bunch of folks in your house. I respect that. So I won't go. You're an evil wife. How dare you? It's rude for you not to come in. No, it's rude for me to try to pull you in and make you who I am, because I am outgoing and I never met a stranger and I love to talk to people. So if people don't get anything out of it, it's not your story, my story. It's your story when you by yourself, your story by, when we're together, it's ours, and we have to try to find a way, you know, to live in harmony, live in one accord. And when I was younger, I just wasn't into that. When I was younger, I was like, yo, you don't have a right, and yo, you just, and yo, and you did, and yo, don't talk to me like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking about me. Yeah. Nah, I told my son today, I said, son, you, because yesterday I said something to him. He was like, oh, dad, I hope we're not about to get back into that argument. So I just stopped. But then the day I told him, I said, listen to me. When you don't do something you're supposed to do, where I come from, you get punished for that. So I'm not really sure if we're going to have a relationship. I can't bite my tongue, and you can't act a fool. So what's we got to talk about what do we do? Because I don't want to scream, but if you're not listening to me, I'm not going to sit back and just hold my tongue. So what's the resolve? And we had a chance to talk intelligently, communicate effectively without escalating
the emotion.
And then he rides. And so he said, dad, well, this is what we probably need to do. I was like, absolutely, but I'm a parent. I'm not about to come down to your level. And, but I do understand you have a reality, I have one, but when we're together, I'm your father. I don't have to yell and scream because I don't think that's healthy, but I can't pretend like I don't see it a certain way.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to talk about how I see it, how you see it, and then come to result. Because you're right. You're not 8 years old no more.
Yeah.
You're 23 years old.
Yeah.
And while you may not necessarily be, like, to me, a grown man, you are an adult who need, and I need to treat you like that and respect you like that, but you need to respect me at the same time. So that's just my thing. I just want people to understand. You have your story, they have your story, but at the same time, we're going to live in harmony. We got to find a way to communicate effectively, and do it in integrity, so that we can make sure that both parties, you know, feel that their realities is being understood.
It's key. It's your own growth. And what I was saying to you before is to keep the relationship with them, be respectful, but not to let it to stop you from going after your dream.
Absolutely.
Because people could think, well, I'll never talk about my dad again because that's going to make everyone mad.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
like you were saying, you were respectful in
the
situation.
Yeah, and still respectful in that I became an entrepreneur, but in the back of my mind, I always had stability in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, yo, I'm going to be a, we just left the financial advisor and talked about, you know, what happens when we retire? My wife has a chronic illness, so I'm spending money to make sure that we have long-term care.
Yeah.
That's not something necessarily that, you know, we ever thought. But, you know, he said, hey, she may need it, she may not. But just in the event that she does, you want to be able to not have her at the hospital. You want to, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have a chronic illness at this point. My wife does, but I want to be respectful, you know, of that. So with my mom and her mom, I'm still thinking not number one motivational speaker in the world, making a lot of money. I'm still thinking insurance, and I did what they told me to do.
Yeah.
And when my wife got the chronic illness, it didn't cost me more because I did get insurance.
Sure.
When my wife had it, and I didn't necessarily need it, but I thought about what they said, stability.
That's right.
You know, I got the insurance. I've got the 401k.
Yeah.
Now as a company, we have our own long-term. So I think you can tell your dream, but still be respectful of the people that are in your environment, so that you don't gain your dream but lose everybody that you love. And I think you can find a way where you can do both.
And you've been doing it. Yeah. And that was a thing that I wanted to let everyone know, is because people see you speak, you're passionate, your heart, you're a great person, but after you spoke at DreamShot, I don't know how, what was that, 3.5, 4 years ago maybe now? I just remember, like, I had my company growing, and then I was wanting to have this other direction of doing a book, and I reached out, and I was even going through, like, another level of my comfort zone that was causing a kind of a struggle between my wife and I, too, and I remember reaching out, and, like, Eric, you called me back, and we're, like, talking about my wife, and I could hear, like, something in the background, sound like a crowd, and then you were, like, praying with me. And I'm like, what is that? And you're like, oh, I'm getting ready to go up on stage, do an event. And you got off and went up there and did that. And I'm just like, I remember thinking, like, wow, he took the time to take that call and like pray with me about that. You could have had every answer in the world. And I know you can't do it all the time for everyone,
but when
it, it shows the character. And I just remember
your wife is from
Sierra Leone.
So I knew I had to, I said, I gotta help him out. You know what I'm saying? I knew what he was going through at the time. So I was like, I gotta stop right now. We have something in common. I truly understand. And again, like he said, you have your dream and your goal and something that Mark was very passionate about. But then he has his wife whose perspective is totally different because she's looking out for the family as, you know, meaning the children or whatever. And then we're looking out for the economics and that's our protection. They have one type of protect, we have none. And so from man to man, entrepreneur to entrepreneur, I was like, yo, I definitely need to stop and address this because I don't want Mark, who I know he's gonna make his dream become a reality. I just don't want him to lose his family in the process. You know, and we can easily do that because we are focused on the dream and the goal. That's our job.
Yeah.
So as entrepreneurs,
you can,
we gotta get each other's back and say, whoa, hey bruh, as an entrepreneur, I feel you 100% on this, but if you had your dream alone, how would you feel? Versus if you had your wife without your dream, how would you feel? You feel way better with your family without your dream than if you had your dream, but you didn't have anybody to share it with, you know? And he was receptive of that. And I could see it as he's moved forward. He's balancing it while I'm balancing it. And everybody else who's trying to do this entrepreneurial thing is trying to balance it out.
Yeah, we actually spent... thank God for continuing to do that. We were able to bring her mom here from Sierra Leone, get her a full heart surgery. They opened her up because they don't have any hospitals, anything. They do, but it's
not to live.
They did this amazing surgery, replaced her. They showed me a YouTube video of how it did it. We were able to help pay for that, take her in. She's been with us for months. She's going back. And I spent so much time in her country too. So she's been able to see the flips, like that's like God, you know. So now you build that foundation more and more too.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, it's understanding from both ends of
it
too.
That's it.
And that's what you've done also. So did you both have that good communication and talk yourself out? Like now, both of you guys are good now with everything?
Oh, we are fantastic, yeah.
You've really grown your relationship over the years, right?
We have prepared it, and it's probably better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because
it was a long time ago, too.
Yeah.
Not nothing recently, but I'll never forget. I was at Disney World, I think, and we had gotten into it and, you know, we hung up and whatever. And I was like, because I was with my family out in Disney World. And I think for me, it was like, okay, E, you can control this. Like, because I saw in the conversation as an adult now, I saw myself like it was an out of body experience. Like, I saw myself and I hung up kind of like, yo, that's not what I wanted to do, and that's not where I wanted to go. Like, when I call, that's not where I wanted to go. Like, yeah, of course, I do have something that I need to say, but I didn't want to go that route. And it was at that point I was like, all right, E, you got to do a better job of, like, not just being in the call, but managing the call. And I'm just being real.
It's the same as the owner, too. Like,
yeah,
learning how to deal
absolutely
with our team members
yeah
and stuff,
but,
right?
But I felt like with my mom, because she did have 14 siblings, and she is strong, I saw where it was like strong. And I was like, okay, you have to pull out. Like, you have to, like,
yes,
you have to back off because it ain't gonna never, it's never gonna go in the direction you wanted to go.
It wouldn't.
What you doing, like coming aggressive like this. And then you a son. So even though I know why you doing what you're doing, you don't really mean to do it like this. You know what I'm saying? So you really need to go. And I started reading like, what's his name? M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
The Walking to the Beat of a Different Drummer. He's a psychologist by trade. And so I started reading his book, and he was the first one to talk about taking ownership. You know,
yeah,
start playing the blame game. And I was like, yo, E, that's what you on right now. So it ain't gonna never go nowhere because you're trying to get her to. It's like, no, you gotta take ownership, son. And so I start trying to just not avoid it. But when I would do it, it's like, okay, first of all, don't do it over the phone. Try to do more in person. When you do it, don't be all, you know what I'm saying, sit down, don't be all aggressive, you know what I'm saying, pull back. If your mom says something like, no, that's her perspective, you ain't got it, whatever. And then the other thing is the noise. So if you're hearing noise, you know what I'm saying, like my little sister might say something to me, whatever, and I'm like, yo, don't even, whatever. Like,
let it go.
That don't have nothing to do with this. Like, stay focused on this, you know, and just did that and communicate it. And, like, you know, anything you do differently, that you starting something different. So if you was digging a hole at first, then it's a hole there. But if you start putting dirt over it, now it's stuff can grow from it. So from that point forth, I think is where it was like, all right, let's grow. And even when we dealt with problems, because I'm married, and I always felt like, for real, you're not careful, your marriage can be a point of contention. You know, because my wife is strong, and my wife is going to do what she want to do when she want to do it. My mom is strong. So I had to learn how to navigate, you know, like, oh, okay, E, you don't have to, whatever. If my mom say something, you ain't got to. If my wife say something, you ain't got to. You can do what you know you need to do and get it done. And then for real.
And have, yeah.
And didn't even realize, like I said, this was the hardest thing for me. I had to realize, like, yo, for real, at the end of the day, this is not my mom, my wife's mom. So they not going to have the same relationship. The same way my wife's mom is not my mom. And I used to get mad at my wife, like, why didn't you say that to your? And I had to think about, like, why would she say something to her mom? Mm-hmm. Like, that's her mom. Like, it's only been her and her mom her whole life. Her mom doesn't necessarily have a husband to go back to. You know what I'm saying? So you can't, she can't mm-hmm. talk to her mom or do certain things to her mom, because once she finishes with her mom going to be by herself. So you need to be the bigger person. Why do you even want her to say that to her mom? Like, for what reason do you even need to say it? You know she loves you, and you know the relationship y'all have. So don't try to force her to treat her mom the way you want her to treat her mom for your relationship. That's her mom. You let her and her mom have her relationship. You have your relationship and kill it. And so I also, this would be another whole podcast, but there are things that you have to let go. Yeah. I'm just saying, there are things that you have to let go of in order to build something. And I think sometimes we try to hold on and build, and sometimes you can't do both. Sometimes you gotta let stuff go to build something, you know, and that's gonna be important too for those who watch this podcast, because we want you to literally go, whether it's your mom and dad, whether it's you and your spouse, you and your kids, we really want you to walk away from this podcast and be better in your relationships. And again, the only way to do that is some of the stuff you're still holding on to, you just got to let it go and say, that happened 20 years ago. That has nothing to do with today, and there's nothing we can do about it because it happened 20 years ago. But we can focus on how we build what we build right now and how we move forward.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add a little bit to that, because Eric was right. When we would clash, it would be, and I remember I was where I was at when we had the last conversation. My husband said, and my sister, we were visiting Vegas for a few weeks for winter, and I walked out the room.
And
when I came back, I was crying. And I said, this is never going to happen again. Mm. I will never cry again. But I didn't mean it. Eric wasn't going to make me cry. I realized I meant that I wasn't letting myself go there.
Mm.
And when I saw that Eric was reaching out, I had to soften. Because at first I was looking for this apology or whatever, and he was not, I still felt like he was blaming me because his biological father wasn't there and I had covered it up or lied, whatever you want to call it. But I said, I can't keep feeling this way. And I softened because he had an overture. Even though I didn't like the way he brought it to me, I was like, he is trying. And then when they moved here, it was like a game changer. I made a lot of overtures that I normally wouldn't. I'm more of a reactive person. I see what you're going to do, then I will act. But I became proactive, probably for the first time, really a lot. And when someone offers you an olive branch, you should take it. But some people want to say, oh, no, it wasn't a big enough branch, or it didn't come the way I wanted, then it'd fall on their face. It's like, no, be smart enough to see. And then you take that, and then you build on it. And then we got more involved as a family to the point where we were going to church up there.
Mm.
And, you know, we went from hardly seeing the kids, because just everybody's strong in this family. Everybody's a bulldog.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody had to be the poodle. You know, the poodle's quiet, but it's smart.
Yeah.
And we finally all started working like that, and it went from him leaving home cussing and fussing to us just having the greatest relationship. And it just proves that no matter what happens, you can overcome it, but everybody has to do their part. And you don't always have to say you're sorry. Action speaks louder than words.
I think you just totally killed it for the better than I usually do the wrap up. And I think you just blew me out. No, that was spot on. That is spot on. And I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time, and you taking the time both being here today, sitting down talking about all this.
Yeah.
This has been some good stuff. Like, I'm probably gonna watch it. It's gonna probably just sorry here. But let's let everyone know though, is this available yet?
This is not just a cover. This is real. This is done. It's available. I think is it Mama T?
Mama Thomas.
MamaThomas.com.
www.
.com. He says she's a baby boomer. She's www. Yeah, it's gonna come on like that. Yeah, regardless. Yeah, I ain't mad at it though. That's the baby boomer. No question about it. Yeah, www.
To the old people.
Yeah, right. To the old folks. Yep. Yeah, baby.
He had to make sure he
won
up to your outro.
Yeah. So go there, look at the back. It's real. It's like, this is the real book. All right. We've sold hundreds of copies already. So you want to go on. We just left San Diego, got some online. So you want to make sure that you get one. We only got 10,000 copies. So make sure you order yours. But again, go to MamaThomas.com and you can order yours. And, we got something special coming, 2019, and this is around curriculum. We're gonna show her how to take this thing, turn it into a curriculum so she can really help mothers and just anybody. It's just anybody who is trying to grow in any area. While definitely she calls the end of every chapter, give it to me again, mother to mother, but at the end of the day, it could be son to father, father to son. It could be, if you wanna grow, this is a book about seeing where you are, making the adjustments. And like she said, it doesn't matter how you start, but through this content, you can finish strong.
Amen.
Thanks, Mark. And let's thank Mark for making the journey. Like, this isn't his living room.
You
know what I'm saying? This isn't his living room. This is Michigan. So I did wear my Cleveland Brown jacket, though, in honor of
I appreciate it. I lived in Colorado more. So I'm good with that, but when I got here with the Ohio plates, I think people were starting to give me those dirty looks. So I made sure I didn't wear any Ohio State stuff.
Oh no, I don't want to do that.
So yes, thank you.
Well, you guys are going further up Michigan now. So you were Michigan State, you're the East Lansing, now you guys are headed to Ann Arbor. So hopefully Ohio State will do well in Ann Arbor.
we'll be careful.
I'll get
a little thing to change my place.
Yeah, please, just cover them up on your way out. They're a little bit more aggressive than us Spartans in terms of their residents. So yeah, be careful.
But they said it, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have the direct link to the books. The links to all of your stuff, you go to YouTube. Eric Thomas is everywhere. Mama T is about to be blowing the world up already. This has been some powerful stuff. Both their outros knocked it out of the park, and I love it. At the heart of it, like, keep going after your dreams. Be authentic. It takes more courage to do that. You're going to go through struggles. You may have some adversity in your family. But keep focused on the vision and the big picture. And I really want everyone to understand it's a lifelong journey. All three of us are still working out stuff. We don't just wake up perfect, and that's okay, as long as you can just keep growing. And it's a lifelong journey. So never settle, never give up, and keep elevating beyond.
After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help. With a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.